this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And Detective David Love. And we're broadcasting from the land down under on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome to our show.
It's 40 degrees Celsius in Australia today. I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit, but it is so hot.
Yeah, I like the hot weather, having grown up in a very cold climate, so I'm enjoying it myself. But anyhow, we're going to get really warmed up on this show. We've got our very special guest, Courtney Mudson, who is the author of Teachings from God. And we've had Courtney on our show in the past. Jill Jenkins and I did an interview with Courtney from Florida a while back. And I really wanted to get Courtney back on the show to talk a little bit more about her book and her channeling and about relationships between people and themselves and the planet, and because she's just so inspiring, I couldn't wait to get you back on the show, Courtney. Welcome to Universal Soul Love.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be back, and we had such a amazing, wonderful, inspiring conversation last time, so this will be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming on again, and I just thought we could jump right in. We've got about 45 minutes for this interview. So I thought we'd just start by maybe you telling us a little bit about your background. And you're very young as well, which I remember you wrote your book when you were 14. So maybe we could just start with your early experiences and just tell us about where you're at.
Sure. So I started my journey. I was actually 16, but close enough. It was March 12, 2012 when I started receiving these messages from the universe, and it was an incredible spiritual awakening for me that forever changed my life. And I was wise enough to document these teachings that were coming through me just rapidly. And it got to a point where I had a whole book together. I had at least 1,000 pages of information, and it changed my life. It changed my perception, and I started sharing it with others, and it was changing their lives too for the better. And so it's been a whole year now since it's been out, and it's just been an amazing, amazing journey, and I'm enjoying the ride. It's cool to connect with so many people and to hear people's stories, and just more than ever, just how much more connected we are when we're aware of our soul's purpose, and that ties right in with your show specifically too. So.
What an amazing thing to happen to you. And at 16, I guess you wouldn't have been like most adolescents then.
Yeah, not so much. I feel much more matured in the work that I'm doing. I understand it deeper, and I'm going to be 21 in a couple of weeks, so.
I was about to ask you how old you were, but I wasn't quite sure how to do it.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you whether you're still under 18 or over. Well, happy 21st.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited.
You're obviously an old soul.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, you know, I see everyone as an old soul. It's just a matter of how aware you are of it. That's my personal understanding.
That's right.
Yeah,
I guess when people are called old souls, there's usually an implication that they are wise. But I guess there are many old souls that don't learn.
No, that's very funny. I know that I also have a collective made up of my past lives and other personalities from other etheric realms that I'm aware of. Just something that I'm aware of, obviously, as it's, you know, it's a personal matter, and there's no proof of these things, but it's what I believe. And of course, I believe, you know, that my collective could go back, at least I believe it, about 3,000 years. And sometimes
you're ancient.
Well, look, it feels like maybe that this is the life where I've really awakened and started learning something new, where I was on a path of knowledge, which we sometimes call illumination, I'm now on a more enlightened path, a more heart-centered path, and I'm trying to combine illumination with, which is about light, along with love, so that you develop a sense of a mind of wisdom, a wise mind.
And so then, are you saying you're getting it right this time around?
Yeah.
Well, I feel
And, you know, it's interesting, Courtney. Of course, I was just going to quickly say, Courtney, it feels like I know you. I do feel there's something about your soul or your spirit that feels familiar to me. When I first met you online, like, you know, when we did our first interview, and you resonated a very high frequency. I can feel that even from here. I can feel something about you that's very radiant and very pure, and I can't quite put my finger on it. But anyhow, go ahead.
I'm in my special place. I'm in my room, and it's a vortex for sure. I usually sit in here when I do interviews and connect with people, because I'm surrounded by my crystals, and I'm in the place where I wrote all of my books. So, there's that to speak for that. But about just feeling connected to people, I have found that to be so true as I've stepped more fully into myself, and continued on this journey that I've been given to do. People are attracted to that. There's a magnetism to that. And it's not something you're trying to do, but somehow you get in situations and meet the right people at the right time. And gosh, recently in the last, I would say 2 weeks, I've been meeting all these younger people that I had been previously just searching for. And right now they're just coming to me. And I'm so inspired by that. Young people. I got to give a shout out to this young girl. Her name is Muskan Virk, and she's a 10-year-old author of this book called 365 Days of Gratitude. And
oh my goodness, age 10.
Yeah, she's 10 years old. She is a powerhouse. You have to meet her. But she's doing amazing things already. And that is one of my real passions, is collecting these people together, people in my generation, because there's such a drive and such a desire to really make change happen and shift happen, and to have these conscious discussions like we're having right now. It's even more important now more than ever. And I don't know why I had to say that, but I did for some reason.
Well, it's interesting that you're focusing on young people. Of course, you're young yourself. But I guess it's the younger generation that is going to be in charge of our world when they grow up. So what a wonderful idea, in order to change the world, to affect positively the younger generation.
She's carrying the light, you know, the truth and the light, because that's what we are. We are the light bearers. We are the truth keepers and the keepers of the light. And that was darkness a long time ago suppressed the light. Those that were mystics who followed a darker path, and I use those terms, dark and light, very conscientiously. They're not true. The meaning that we give to dark and light isn't really the truth, but I'm using them anyhow, just for the sake of language and for the sake of this interview. But I do know that there were mystics, or whatever term you give to them, that chose a path of power and domination and suppressed the rest of the population a long time ago from learning about universal laws and metaphysics and higher knowledge. And they persecuted those who didn't want to join with their ranks. And those mystics who studied in secret and met in secret, formed secret societies or secret orders. And there, again, there were various types of secret orders and secret societies, and some were more of a higher vibration than others, just the nature of the universe. But I believe now more than ever, people are awakening, and it's these keepers of the truth and the light who have are sort of leading the way. I think you could call them light workers or light warriors or guardians or whatever term you want to give them. And you're certainly one of them, Courtney. And I just appreciate that and have a lot of gratitude to you for what you're doing, your work.
Well, I'm doing it because it's not something that I set out to do. It's something that I know I have to do. And I was not by any means fearless going into this. There's been a lot of blocks that I've had to move through and be really courageous about. And no matter how you look on the outside, if you're called a spiritual teacher or a light worker, whatever, you know, I'm surrounded by many people that don't get it, many people that don't see me, many people that don't hear me. And of course, that's the beauty of being on a show like yours, where, you know, you appreciate and see what I have to offer, but that's not always the truth. And that's, of course, the path that all real teachers and leaders walk. And it's something that can be challenging, but it's so gratifying in the end. And when you were talking about just the ages of, you know, where we were kind of, we had to play small or else we would be persecuted, and especially women too. And there's at least a mention of it in my book, if not more, but there was a mention of that and saying, you know what, that's not the time anymore. You need to erase those belief systems. And I don't mean that in a, like, I mean that in a loving way, you know, that we can let those things go. We can move past those things and use that knowledge as a way to propel us into this new time. And I really feel that that's what we're doing. And it happens on a personal and on a global level, which there's quite a lot of evidence of right now in these times, good, bad, or indifferent. But I do agree with you. I mean, we're, even though on the outside it looks like there's a lot of fear, a lot of negativity, a lot of breaking down of structures, somehow that's benefiting us on a much bigger scale. And I think being that we're talking about relationships, this is so important to remember. And it's some information that I've been getting. I'm 240 pages into my next book, so there's so much more coming already. And a lot of it is about relationships. In fact, about our relationship to this wholeness and the way that we perceive the world around us. We're being called to look beyond what our eyes see and really challenge ourselves to see with our many eyes, the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the soul, whatever word you use. But
I love that, eyes of the heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our relationship to the divine is deepening. The more that we are asking those questions, the more that we're challenging ourselves to go deeper. So it's just cool. I have way more to share, but I want to let the information come through more too with this next book. But
very excited for you. It sounds like you have so much to offer, and having you know, become so, I guess, wise at such a young age, you have even more years to offer people than, because, you know, a lot of people only have their awakening when they're older. It's interesting, the themes that you come up with are the I guess contribution that light workers have towards humanity, And you've said that you enjoy connecting light workers together, which is interesting because that's what we do, especially David, that's what he does. And I'm wondering whether we can talk a little bit about the ways in which light workers, those that are on the spiritual path, can help awaken the world. And I guess allowing and connecting light workers together is one of those ways, isn't it? I mean, I think that's a very important practical thing you can do, because mm-hmm. we light workers, you know, it's good to have support from each other. And there's a sense that when we're connected with each other, our collective vibration rises even higher. Mm-hmm. You know, like I get a buzz just talking to people like yourself.
Yeah, it creates such a great feeling within each one of us when we connect like in this way mm-hmm. and create that greater energy when these minds come mm-hmm. together. It's a wonderful feeling.
Right.
But also mentioned that it can be hard when you are in the presence of people that don't get it. And I'm mm-hmm. wondering, what can we do about that? What do you think, mm-hmm. from a practical perspective, what is our role? Do we have people that are more awakened? Do we have a role to try to awaken those around us?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we wait for them to awaken themselves?
These are all really
Do we go
points.
Up to them and shake them and say, hey, wake up?
Like some religious people.
Yeah, all this I could speak about for ages and ages. And I was just talking with my friend about this, and that I'm going to make a YouTube video about this, because, you know what, I think, first of all, what needs to happen in the very broadest way is less division. And I've been on, it feels like, many lifetimes of this spiritual journey, which I'm thinking, like, in the last 5 years, it feels like it's been 15, 20 years of that, because I've had so many different experiences and ways of viewing my spiritual journey. And there was a point in time when I would really cling on to those labels, whether it be indigo child or light worker or, you know, whatever. It was all these different things. And I found a lot of people that could understand that and could support that. But you know what happened also in the midst of all of that, of being in these different spiritual communities, is I felt more divided from other people that weren't in that group. I felt more divided. And there was a time and place for that, and it taught me so much. But in the end, and where I'm at right now, is I'm bringing forward these understandings in the most universal, most natural way that I possibly can. And nothing against using the word light worker or whatever, but I'm learning that in order to really help awaken the world, it starts with us and our relationship to the world around us. And, you know, my teacher, Master Chuni Lin, who I have studied with and learned from my whole life since I was 8 years old, he's a teacher that I really look up to, because he has passed on wisdom in the most humble and most universal and loving way. And that's really what I aspire to do and be myself. And you have to teach people how to own their own power, how to be empowered in their own life, because you cannot give everyone all of the steps, and you cannot wave a magic wand over someone's head and say, you're awakened now. That's not how it works. And honestly, it's kind of like a domino effect. You know, you have to work on yourself. You have to learn to live for yourself. You have to follow your own bliss and joy and find your soul purpose and do that. When you're doing that, you're being your full presence. When you're doing that, you're affecting your family around you. When you're doing that, you're affecting your community. And it's a ripple effect. And so if you are spending all your energy just going out and trying to change everyone, you're not being present within yourself. You're not seeing them for who they need to be in that moment. Therefore, you're not honoring them or you. So it's like this weird thing that I feel like a lot of spiritual communities, they're like, I need to awaken you, or you know, a lot of kind of naive Westerners looking for the fast fix, go to India and find a guru, and they're told they're awakened or they're not or whatever. And I feel like there's a time and place for that for some people, but it's really a time right now where we have to find that each and every one of us are capable of this divine magic. I've been treated sort of specially as I've come out with my book, Teachings from God, and that I channeled it and I was 16 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm getting just less attached to that whole story and more into the passion of helping people discover that power within themselves. That's what we need. Like, that is the leaders of this world, like, coming soon, is people that can do that, find their own teacher within them, and really use that as their guidance system. We can't keep going outside of ourselves. So that's clearly, I'm really passionate about this, but that's really like how I view how the world is going to change, is it has to come from within ourselves. We have to start using our tools. We have to start using our spiritual knowledge. I mean, we literally, within our literal bodies, within ourselves, we have this amazing innate wisdom that, like, it's a storehouse, it's a library storehouse of cosmic information. I mean, we have to learn how to use that. And yeah, I'll stop rambling, but man, it's just, no, it's crazy.
I do understand. No, yeah. I do understand. I've come to the conclusion, and I often tell people, the answers don't exist outside of you. All the knowledge of the universe to all of life's mysteries and problems can be found within you. And it sounds like an abstract sort of magical concept or theory, but it's not. And and I can't quite explain what that means or how it's done. I did it through meditation. I never had a spiritual master per se. I believe that everyone I've met is a guru to me, a teacher, spiritual teacher to me in my spiritual evolution and development. We have had a couple of very wise people, at least I can remember a man and a woman who've been on our show, who have gone to India and traveled, and they found spiritual masters to help awaken them, and they've had a lot of great things to say during our interviews with them. I guess I have a lot of spiritual matter, and I have spiritual masters almost every week who come on the show and help us develop new insights into ourselves and life. So we have a lot of gratitude for the universe enabling us to have this show and to speak to so many wise, wonderful people like yourself.
Having very good training.
Yeah.
I love what you say about the fact that we have to work on ourselves, but that paradoxically, by working on ourselves, it does have a dramatic effect on the world around us. And, you know, there's no greater example of where that occurs than with, for example, parenting. And I'm a parent of two adolescents, lucky me. And you know, it's not smooth going a lot of the time, and I still have to catch myself out on this black and white belief that I need to teach them by telling them things. Look, I still do, you know, I tell them all the time, don't be materialistic, you know, it's not looks that count so much as the heart. However, I'm aware of the fact that the best way to teach is by example. And kids, you know, they absorb like sponges, and they absorb not necessarily what you say, but very much what you do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very wise that you point out that this has such a huge ripple effect on all the people around you, just by being the most authentic, you know, loving people that we can be.
Being present to others and just being the best that you can be. And I have to say that we can only be the best we can be in every moment. And I often feel like I fall short of that quite often in my relationships and in my actions. But I also know we had Alexander Midas on our show. I just want to say quickly with Galactic Connection, and I remember one of the most important consistent messages Alexander has said is that we need to give ourselves a break, and we're too hard on ourselves. And
that's right.
We become so tough on ourselves. I want to say I don't believe in mistakes, but I believe that the only quote unquote mistake I really ever made was in thinking a long time ago that I wasn't good enough. And that's my relationship with myself. And that affects my relationship with everyone and everything in the world. And when you think you're not good enough and you have a problem or you have something wrong with you and you repeat that over and over in your mind so that it becomes your programming, you're bound to, and I don't like the word failure, but you're going to have limited success in everything you do as long as that programming is in place. And that's all I really wanted to add.
So I can rephrase that by saying the only mistake you can ever make is thinking that you've made a mistake.
It's all experience.
That's right. There's no such thing as right and wrong.
Exactly.
No such
thing.
You can harm others, and you certainly need to learn from that and not do that again. You know, having worked with criminal defense investigator.
Hello. We like, okay, yeah. And look, relationships are, we did say we were going to talk a bit more about relationships. I think it's one of the hardest things to try to get to work properly.
It is.
You know, if we have our work, we have, our careers, et cetera, but making our relationships work is the most challenging thing we can do.
It is. It's the perfect personal growth tool and vehicle in life. And I remember when I was on the other side in my mind, or whatever you want to call that experience, I remember the divine feminine essence, as I like to call it, the goddess, speaking to me and saying, life is not about anything. She believes life is about relationships with everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even with yourself, with money, with work, with the environment, with other people, whatever, with God, or the creator, or universal source. So, and that's, I'm sure you have a lot to say about that, Courtney, about what I just said, a relationship with the universe, which, and yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I've learned is, what's interesting, it's developed much, much deeper since kind of the beginning of my journey. And I don't want to say the very beginning of my journey, because it didn't start when I was 16, but as far as this whole chapter of really deepening my spiritual connection, I really had a very clear understanding of what oneness feels like, what unconditional love feels like, in the best way that I could with my, you know, human self, at least. And, I was very easy to tap into that sort of source energy and feel that field of just unconditional love and presence, and seeing from that sort of bird's eye view where it just all makes sense and there's no conflict, there's no negativity, it just all kind of fits together, and you can see how you can see past your human perspective. And, you know, I was in that space so, so much at the time that I kind of became detached from what you might say is real world problems. If somebody came to me with some news about something happening in the world that was so bad, I almost couldn't react to it because how I was experiencing all these things from the bird's eye view was, it's all okay. And something that has deepened in the last couple of years is I've been more challenged to just experience being human. And so I have less of those kind of, I don't want to say out of body experiences, but less of that sort of source connection, and more of a just human daily, like mundane reality sort of thing going, and relationships, gosh, it's just become so real to me, just so challenging, and so just, it's a daily thing for me, because even when you're following your soul purpose, even when you're doing what you're meant to do, you are met with resistance constantly. And all of these things are lessons. They're, I don't want to just say lessons, because people say that all the time, but more like opportunities for us to check in with ourselves and say, hey, are you still vibrating at your highest self? Hey, are you, do you want to react that way? Or is that an old, kind of an old CD that you've been playing over and over and over again? Because we do that. We get stuck in our patterns. Mm. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy. And something that I've been learning about through this therapy called EMDR is how we get these programs stuck in us, and they can originate back to when you were 3 years old, and you can be playing that disc for 30, 40, 50 years and just not even know about it. It's just how you work. But when you reprocess those, when you retrain those things, then it shakes the whole thing up. And that's what relationships are. That's what, the purpose of them is to be able to learn more about yourself. It's really not about them. It's about you. It's about, how do I work under these circumstances, and what makes me flow when I'm with these people? Does that make me flow more or less? And there's something to being with your soul tribe. I'm totally on board with that. And,
all right.
You know, that fuels you in a way that is so, so essential. But then there's also something to being around people that don't get you and don't understand you, and you can still see them for who they are. They are wearing a mask just like you are. You are a personality. They are a personality. You're expressing different aspects of that experience of being human, but you came from the same source. I mean, this is the thing that I was laughing about with my friend today. We were talking about this, and she said to me, gosh, I look at this person and I just think, oh, it's so hard to believe that we're one right now. And it's so relatable. So I get all kind of areas of this now, of relationship. I shouldn't say I haven't mastered, obviously. If you're human, you haven't mastered it, but I have much less, I have much more awareness, and less, I'm less naive.
Well, no, I understand. I used to have a great, you know, out-of-body experiences and all sorts of supernatural experiences, and now I'm much more solid in my body and active in my relationships and present to them and just active in being human, although I'm sort of always between two worlds and aware of two worlds and aware of the spiritual realm at the same time. And, you know, I always have that connection with my higher self or higher power or greater self, or whatever term you give to it, that sort of guides me. But I do find relationships very challenging, and I love all people. Even though I often get angry and I get challenged, and it's all me though reacting to it. And I like what you said, all of that, because I was on a plane to Las Vegas a while ago. Actually, I was just on a plane to Las Vegas last week for my business, but this week. I'm so confused with all the traveling and time zone changes. But I remember her saying that the negativity, the things we experience as negativity or even trauma in life, it's meant to remind us of who we are, who we truly are. And I'm still exploring that a bit in my mind and trying to understand it. But life is certainly the school of life, and it's certainly a all a learning experience for me. And I love it, you know, even the difficult stuff, because one of my favorite sayings is, this too shall pass, and it always does. And I've been able to get past every major struggle or hardship I've encountered in life. So I'm grateful for that, mm-hmm. as well. And to Lana, of course, and everyone in my life, and you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, just how...
And it seems interesting that we're... Yes? Hello?
Oh, you guys are breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, we can hear you, Courtney. What were you saying?
You can hear me. Okay. Oh, yes. I was just going to say, hopefully the connection doesn't go bad, but... it's just interesting how these different experiences kind of shape-shift as you enter different phases of the life experience. That's something that I didn't really understand at first is that, say you want to work on a certain relationship, like your relationship with yourself, and you feel like you understand it at a certain point. I mean, I've done so much like inner work, I guess. And no matter how much you meditate, no matter how much you, get inner revelation, so to speak, I mean, it's always changing because your outer and inner experiences they change, they shift. And, I'm just becoming so much more aware of that and how even my relationship with the divine, with my, if you want to say higher self, that relationship has changed too. And there was a part of me for a while that was a little bit sad that it was different. And there was, such a purity when I look back at, 16 years old, that feels like ages ago to me. When I look back, I feel like I was just a kid sort of, because, there was this like purity there. And, now I feel like I've lived so many lives in between that. And I have a different relationship with that source now. It's like when I sit down to connect in the way that I always do, it's not this grand experience that it used to be. Mm. It's more like I'm so grounded in my body. I don't leave my body. I don't project to other places. I'm just so in my body. And now... I can be, channeling information in a very like normal way. I can just be sitting with my eyes open. I can be sitting in the library and writing my book, but it's still all being channeled through me in such a, it's hard to explain, but it's grounded now. And I feel like it's more just there all the time. It's sort of merged now instead of it being myself, and then turn on the switch and then something totally different. So there's something there too. Yeah.
That's interesting. So it's like you've integrated. Mm. Paradoxically, mm-hmm. people would think having an out of body experience and astral projection is sort of a higher state of being, but
right.
you've actually managed to integrated while grounded in your body.
Yeah, there's a mm-hmm. grand experience, that spiritual psychic awakening. And then you come back and you have your mission and you have your work to do, but you still have that relationship and the connection with source. And because Lana always remarks about how I see numbers on license plates. And it's kind of sometimes uncanny when I'm having a particular thought. And it's almost like I see the number 23 or a 888 or a 777. And it's almost a reminder to me, like a little, I think someone, Lynn Rose a friend of ours once called it a God wink or a universal acknowledgement that you're on the right track or that they're present. And that's just one way. And there are other ways that I recognize the presence of my higher power in the world.
Number 23, I you know, it's, I really have to call you number 23, man number 23. You know, David sees these numbers everywhere he goes. It's amazing. And it's always in sync with something significant that he will talk about. And it's actually happening more and more. It's like we're getting more integrated with this. It's actually becoming a normal part of our life. Yesterday, for instance, it was happening all the time. We're getting these God winks or nudges, you know, every 5 minutes, 23, 888, 777.
Somebody, some people would say that's just coincidence and it means, you know, and your mind's looking for it.
I can't
give any kind of evidence or proof that this is something that exists. I know that a movie was made about it, the number 23, and it's a phenomenon for a lot of people. But I mean, I see other numbers as well. Eight is, I see that as the feminine number of the feminine energy. And so that one appears sometimes. So, you know.
Well, it's the 11s
I can't
with me. Yeah, you know, I mean.
What number is it?
11s, yeah. I initially kind of started finding out about the numbers with Doreen Virtue, and I would go on her website. She has different number sequences and what they mean to her, and I would use those, you know, from time to time. And and then I met my friend Simran Singh, who talks about 1111, and she has 1111 Talk Radio and 1111 Magazine. And that just gave me even more insight to the power of 1111. And
A lot of people have that one.
So, Kirby, can I ask you, do you see that on number plates everywhere?
Yeah, I see the numbers everywhere.
Oh, another
yesterday.
One. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's really funny. I get weird messages on license plates sometimes or billboards or just like, I'll look at the clock and it'll be 11:11. And yesterday it happened like three times. Like I caught all of the 11s. It was 11:11 a.m., 1:11 p.m., 11:11 p.m.
It's synchronicity.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the thing that I want to kind of get past or maybe notice is it's not just about the numbers. There's something more to dive into, something more to look at in there, because it got to the point where it's happening so much that it was like, oh, whatever, it's happening again.
I sort of
didn't look further, and you know, I've learned a lot from my friend Simran Singh, and just the way that she is able to recognize signs and symbols in everything, like everything. She's so good with that, and I learned so much from her, and I started to notice that, like I would look on a bottle of wine. We'd be walking to the store and look on a bottle of wine and it would be a message. And it's funny how that works. When you're looking, then it shows up more. And honestly, these are all, again, another mirror, another reflection of our relationship to this wholeness, this greater presence. And these things are happening whether we're noticing them or not. But when we're noticing them, it increases our own awareness of this connectivity. And then we're able to, you know, be more of a creator of our own life instead of just this passive, you know, like, woe is me.
Life is an active.
Yeah. And it's not true. It's not true.
Not passive.
But, you know, I might have said this on our last show that I was inspired by The Secret. I watched The Secret movie when I was probably 10 or 11 for the first time. And that's when it all started clicking for me and I got super passionate about this. You know, basically, you are creating this experience. This is not happening to you. And that was such an awakening point, and I got so excited about that. It was like, oh, okay, perfect. This makes sense. Everything else doesn't make sense, but this makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think that anything outside of us really makes sense. It's always very vague and ambiguous, but everything, the experience of life, is happening within our minds. That's how I understand this.
Yeah, it's cool that, you know, the numbers, that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg, because that's
I think the universe speaks to us in signs and symbols because we can understand them, because language, human language, is very complex and complicated, and it's, again, vague and ambiguous a lot of times. The meanings that we give to things may not be the meanings that another person has. And if you see a heart or a smiley face, everyone, those are universal symbols. Everyone knows what a heart means or what a smiley face means. Everyone on the planet, generally. So the universe can speak to us that way, in a way that we'd understand, without complicated meanings. And,
And I guess it is very useful to, I guess, try to understand the meaning of what, you know, if a synchronicity happens or you see a number like that. I guess there's not always a meaning. You know, the other day when we were getting numbers all the time, and David was trying to look for the meaning, and we couldn't find a meaning, and I actually thought, well, maybe sometimes there's not a meaning. Maybe sometimes it's just a nudge to connect to Source a bit more. And, you know, sometimes Source can actually laugh. The other day it was sort of having fun. It was seemed to be laughing. And in fact, David, remember? You see 23 and then you were thinking, you saw ha, and then you were thinking ha-ha, and then you saw another ha on another number plate.
And then I saw 23 right after that. Right. And then I saw another one and then another one almost within the same few minutes.
So the universe was really having giggles.
Yeah,
so.
The universe seems to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
There is that there's truth in that too. I mean, like, we need to kind of bring humor into this whole life thing, because I mean, we get so hung up on it, and maybe that was part of your answer too, about like needing to look up the answers, or the desire to look up the numbers and what they mean. And it's like, maybe it's not really about that. Maybe it's about just being present in that moment. Or maybe, you know, I think you were on the right track with that, but you know, it's sometimes we just get caught up in the, you know, how to define everything. And, you know, even with the numbers or signs and symbols, we get kind of caught up in what they're supposed to mean. And sometimes you just need to be aware, like open your eyes and look around you in the world, and you notice things and you notice new things, and you can create your own ways of noticing those, what did you call them, God winks, I guess. And I've definitely noticed that. Like, I get butterflies. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I was always kind of like drawn to these butterflies, whether it be like in images or whatever. I would always like cut them out or see them on the internet, and sometimes even actual real butterflies. But when I was doing my web design for my website, I submitted a proposal to Design Crowd, and I said, okay, you guys just figure it out, send me your designs. And I got about 75 to 80 designs come to me within that week, and probably 80 or 90% of the designs I got all had butterflies in them. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, there was nothing in the description about butterflies or anything. So
really?
Yeah, wow. It was strange and also really cool. And so, of course, there's butterflies everywhere on my website and just generally in things that I do. But I feel like it's, generally it's sort of seen as a symbol of transformation or blossoming. And so that personally, that for me has been something that I've kind of held on to, and just kind of a remembrance of what I want to do, you know, come out of your cocoon and kind of be a leader in your own right, and just be free. So.
Right.
Oh, that's really, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to, we'd like for you to give us your website and how people can reach you.
Sure.
And we wrap up soon.
Sure. Yeah. My website is teachingsfromgod.com. And on there, you can find everything about me, and also all of my social media links. And I'm on YouTube and Facebook and all of that. So it's really, really easy to find me pretty much everywhere.
Well, look for the butterflies. Follow the path. Follow the butterflies.
Are you able to do a channeling for us real quick?
Oh, sure.
I'm putting you on the spot like
that, that would be lovely if you feel that you can.
Sure.
Or do you have some message from source perhaps that you want to give very quickly? Or
sure.
Up to you.
Yeah, just give me a minute. Yeah, I'll have to do a little speed one. I'll have to tell him. Yeah, you got to hurry it up. Okay. Is there any, do you just want me to go for it, or is there anything that you want to ask or say?
Well, I guess we've been talking about source a lot. So I wonder whether, if you can connect to source, whether source has a message for us or for our listeners about, you know,
maybe the future and what's happening in the world with so much happening. I know we talked about this with you before, but a lot of people are so frightened, and every well-known author and speaker who's been on our show, Andrew Harvey and Bruce Lipton, have all said that, and it's in the news from all our scientists, that we're facing the fifth mass extinction of the planet, I believe, and 2/3 of the animal species will be extinct by 2020. These are the things that we're told, and the economic crisis, or at least there's a, they say that. I'm not sure that that's true.
There also seems to be such a huge number of people that are awakening.
Awakening, yes.
So I guess we're wondering what message source might have to us and to our listeners today.
Sure. Okay, just give me one moment. Dear ones, we want to remind you. We want to remind you of this beautiful time that you are in. Because, again, we are challenging you to see beyond your eyes, to see beyond this complexity of the mind. Because what is underneath all of this is an experience that you are all living. And this experience is called the human path. You are experiencing being a human being. You are experiencing having diversity. You are experiencing being different from one another. And yet, you are all connected to the same source, the same state of oneness, the same state of allness. And here there is only beauty. Here there is only grace. Here there is only connectedness and honor for each and every energy that joins. And so what we remind you of is this. There is a connectivity from this source to the reality in which you call planet Earth. And there is a divine alignment to each and every event, each and every occurrence, each and every act in which is taking place at this time and space. And we are challenging you to see beyond your eyes, because what is underneath is trust and assurance. What is underneath is a divine equilibrium. And you can figure out what that means. So what we're saying to you is this. You have the power within you to unveil this wisdom, this assurance. Because when you do this, you find that you are pure as you are. You find that what you see on the outside is not the whole story. And what can you do about this? You can be present within yourself, fully present within yourself, and not escape into the ego, mind, the storm that is happening outside, that is illusion, that is coming from fear. Fear is not the truth. Fear is not what you are wishing to move into. You are wishing to move into a state of more unity consciousness. To do this, you must embrace yourself as part of this unity consciousness, which means embracing the reality in which you hold true in this moment. That is the fear, that is the struggle, that is the illusion of separateness. Embrace that. Do not push it away, because it is part of the learning experience. There is great love for you here. And on your planet Earth, there is great love as well. So it is important for you to start to revel in that. Be here. Be here in your body now. Experience this joy and bring forward the divine love, this connectedness that you are part of as well. Because that is part of the journey too. So remember this, dear ones. And remember that you can tap into this energy at any point in time, because you are that profound and you are that magnificent. And so it is.
Wow, that was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Really beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just want to say, I remember during my spiritual awakening, during the high point of my spiritual awakening, I remember someone telling me there's another law, and it's sort of up to me to come up with that understanding of that law, recognition of it. And for me, it was the law of equilibrium. And you mentioned when you were channeling Source, you mentioned equilibrium. So that's very interesting. I'll have to spend more time looking at that again, the law of equilibrium and what that means to me and for life.
And yes. I just like to say that the last bit when you said that you can always tap into it, I think that's a really lovely, beautiful thing to remember. And what's coming to me now is other words, the third dimension. Through this conversation, what I'm going to take back is the third dimension. The third dimension to me is that aspect of consciousness where not only have you gone within yourself, but you have connected to Source. There is Source, there is you as a human, and then there's the third dimension where you are connected to Source. And that's what happens when you go within, when you experience these moments of synchronicity, when you seek to connect to the divine. That connection is a third dimension, and you can always tap into that.
And so, it's all a very seamless connection as well at the same time.
So thank you for reminding us of that. Beautiful words. Thank you so much, Courtney.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on your show too.
We love having you on the show, and perhaps when your new book is written, perhaps we can have you on again. I'm very excited to hear that you're writing another one.
Yeah, I would love it. I'm working hard on it, and I'm excited to share it.
Yeah, you're certainly one of my favorite guests on the show. All of my guests are great, but certainly I do feel that you're very special and talented.
A very, very big hug. Thank you so much. And a big hug to all our listeners. And we'll catch you again next week on Universal Soul Love.
Yep. Bye for now.
Bye.